WrestleSpective Radio is not affiliated with World Wrestling Entertainment, TNA Wrestling, Ring of Honor Wrestling, or any other sports entertainment entity or personality.
You're listening to WrestleSpective Radio. Learn to love it.
Hello, and welcome to WrestleSpective Radio at fairtoflare.com. And we are in the midst of the main event project, almost at the end of our series looking back at all the final matches at WrestleMania. And we're here talking about the 25th anniversary of WrestleMania, Triple H defending the WWE Championship against Randy Orton. And I am here with Mitch of Pizza Body Slam and fairtoflare.com. Mitch, how are you doing today?
I am very well.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is an interesting match in a lot of ways, really. In one way, it's right when WWE entered the PG era, and it's sort of... It's very much a heavy grudge style feud, yet they are certainly under a lot of restrictions on what they can do, you know, with the PG era. And it definitely, I would say, affected this match.
Totally. And also, like, they already had those restrictions to go by, and they one-upped it by placing restrictions on the actual match itself by saying Triple H, if he was DQ'd or counted out, he loses the title. So that it was a product of like the PG rating, but it was also like a second way to make this match kind of be forced to like hold back and not be what it should have been.
Yeah, and that's weird because of all the WrestleMania main events and all the main events in general of the, you know, the Attitude Era, and really, you know, not long before this point, where most of those, if they weren't out and out DQ matches, you know, no DQ matches, they were implied no DQ matches. I mean, basically disqualification was, you know, rarely if ever enforced, and suddenly it's like a really heavy part of this match. So, and that's kind of an interesting, deal. So,
yeah.
For those who do not know, the story behind this is, Randy Orton had, was kind of going through the entire McMahon family, and that had some really, really good angles and some really, really terrible angles.
Yes, they to like jump in here, but I have to say, I'm almost more interested in the build of this. Well, like, I find this entire feud to be fascinating.
Yeah.
And the match itself we'll get to, but the build is kind of an anomaly where they would jump back and forth between really good stuff and really not so good stuff.
Yeah. Well, the first major angle that I remember was, of course, Orton had either won or it was right before he won the Royal Rumble, but he had a confrontation with Vince McMahon, and then he ended up punting Vince and knocking him out. You know, and punting was kind of like his big thing, where he was, you know, kind of punting everybody and knocking them out, you know, knocking them unconscious, and then, you know, forcing them to, you know, be out for a very long time. That was kind of his thing. He, you know, he was kind of finally getting like his really big, strong heel push. I mean, it wasn't like finally. I mean, he'd been champion three times, I guess, already, but like they were finally like, you know, really getting behind him as like one of the very top guys, you know, kind of like, you know, we basically Cena and Orton are now the top guys who are, you know, completely protected and very rarely lose. And, you know, are the guys who are, you know, the focus of, you know, most of the major happenings in WWE.
Yeah.
So, but at this point he was still a level below that. He went through Vince, and that was a pretty memorable segment, you know, because Vince is not a guy who gets, you know, knocked out too often, you know, and is forced to do a big injury thing.
Yeah.
And then we had Shane McMahon.
We sure did.
Yes. And, you know, Shane returned looking pretty old, looking kind of chunky, if I remember.
Oh, man. I can't – just thinking about it, well, it makes me laugh. It was funny.
Yeah.
I was like – I had to take a knee down off the couch watching this because it, we are specifically talking about his punches, right?
We are. Yeah. You describe them for us if you possibly can.
They defy description, Jason. They defy description. And
yes.
they were just – it was like he was shadowboxing with – I feel bad for Randy Orton because he had to like do these like, how do I sell these weird punches that you're throwing me? And
well,
oh my – just it crushes me because that is what I mean. Like they came off of like the awesome first angle where, you know, Orton, RKO, Stephanie, and Triple H comes running in like a wildebeest and gets like in I don't even know I can't even describe that face that he made at Randy Orton, and the crowd is just lit up because Triple H was supposed to be on SmackDown, but they had that like they brought up that real life issue where it's like you know that they're married but they it's rarely said on television anymore.
Yeah.
So him coming to her aid, it brought that air of realism into it, even if it's, you know, still pro wrestling. And
That
was an incredible start. And then they would bounce back and forth with, like, a home invasion. You're like, what? Why is he – why is this, like, a dramatized home invasion? And then it's back to, like, oh, awesome. There's, like, Triple H is handcuffed to the ropes and there's sexual assault. Great. And then it's bad. I don't know. It's just, like, back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, the Vince thing and then, you know, the Shane thing to explain a little more was basically, you know, everyone was, like – you know, like, I think, like, most of the roster was, like, around the ring, and then, like, Shane came out, and then, like, he, like, runs to the ring, and then he, like, gets, like, then he mounts Orton, and then, like, yeah, he, like, strikes him with these, like, a flurry of punches, and, like, the first three or four are okay, and then he clearly blows up, and so they're not only, like, weak, but they're slow, and he clearly, like, tires himself out. And, like,
it's
I'm pretty
so funny,
sure he had to, like, throw out, like, Cody and DiBiase, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, the Legacy was there with him, so
yeah.
It was, like, old Shane McMahon fucking, like, oh, sorry, I just swore. I got so – I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But he's just going at it with all three of these guys who are supposed to be, like – their whole thing is, like, how, like, elite they are. They're all third-generation superstars, and he's just taking them all out, just, like, doing what no other man can. And it's with – and yeah, the punchline is – that he's throwing these awful hooks and jabs that are just whiffing on every go.
Yes. So they, now I remember like the next week they like try to do a little damage control and like Orton like claimed like, oh, Shane, he does, you know, we were just, you know, we were backing off. We knew that if we attacked him that we would get fired or whatever. So we didn't do that or whatever. Like they tried to like do like damage control because they kind of like realized like how embarrassing it was. But and then yeah, so Orton and Shane they actually had a match at No Way Out that I've never seen and probably hope to never see. But at least Orton won that match.
Yeah, thank goodness.
And then they then that was kind of when they moved on to like Triple H like really actually like you know physically got involved or whatever you know. I mean he'd already kind of done the promo and stuff, but, you know, at that point, you know, that was when they really fully moved into Triple H and Orton. And then they kind of did, of course they did the whole home invasion thing, you know, which was just really cheesy and corny. I guess before then the big one that was actually very, very good was, Triple H being handcuffed, to the ropes, and then as you said, you know, Stephanie tries to run in, but then Orton does the DDT to her, and then you know basically, and then kisses her as Triple H is looking on, which you just really you know creepy underhanded dastardly heel stuff, but I mean you know like you know morally objectionable, but really really
for,
well done, yeah.
Yeah, perfect for what you want to see when you want to see a guy get his comeuppance.
Yes.
You want to see Randy Orton – like this feud did the unthinkable with the majority of wrestling fans. Like so many people – like at this point, I think Triple H was like feuding with Kali and not Kozlov because that was later that year maybe. But whoever he was – it was just – he was on SmackDown and it was kind of like a whatever. Like no one was really excited about him. So turning it around and being like – making people who normally hate Triple H care about him and his wife and like the feud he was having, like that is like a miracle for some people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that is like, he is easily one of the most like truly hated people in the wrestling business historically. Like, and to have like this one feud turn it all around was incredible. It was just a shame they couldn't put like a stamp on it and make it, you know, you don't like not make us hate the ending. Like it's too bad.
Yeah. I'm looking it up here. Cause I wanted to like get this like fairly accurate. Actually, what happened first was Orton RKO'd Stephanie after a match with Shane. It was like the Raw after No Way Out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Triple H gets involved, goes after Legacy with a sledgehammer. Then
yeah,
they do
that.
A thing with Orton intending to press charges, and then Triple H did a promo saying that Orton needed to face him at WrestleMania, which was a weird deal. Like the logic there was strange, but Orton
a little bit backwards
did agree there. And then they did the home invasion.
Get together, man.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Then they did the home invasion, a week after that, which is really strange. Like,
yeah.
And then a couple weeks later was the big, what was the Stephanie angle?
Okay.
Was Triple H against Orton and DiBiase in a handicap match. And
okay.
then they did the handcuffing. And then, then a couple weeks later or the next week, that was when the limo shows up, and then, Shane and Vince and Triple H get out and they do the brawl. One thing that I thought was missing about this story was like, I feel like one of like the really important things, like I'm going to make a weird parallel here, but like when TNA was doing its second they angle where they were like, you know, getting the babyface side, like getting that team together to fight off against the, you know, original they, the immortal group. What I'm trying getting like the team together, like kind of like, or even better in this case, because obviously Triple H and Vince and Shane had like longstanding differences.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like there's dramatic tension in those two sides resolving their differences and coming together to unify against Orton.
Yeah.
And they didn't even like bother like trying to do that. They just kind of were like, oh, well, these guys are all family now, when we've never really acknowledged that before, and we've never acknowledged the Stephanie and Triple H, you know, real marriage. I mean, they had their fake marriage, but they, you know, the real marriage they never acknowledged. So I felt like that was like a really kind of a missed opportunity.
And it's just something that it was one of the last things in recent memory that they just let you assume, or let the common knowledge do the talking. Like they didn't hammer home anything else. Like they didn't feel like they had to explain it. And it's definitely something, that could have been used to hype up why Vince and Shane and Triple H would ever, you know, get together to beat up Orton.
Right.
But it was one of the last things that they didn't feel like they needed to hold your hand and lead you on in the angle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like in the end, you know, when the three of those guys come out, like they've been through enough where it makes sense that they're getting together and they're fighting. It's just like, I would have been nice to have like seen like them, you know, it would have been nice to have seen like the steps in which they had to like overcome their differences to be able to do that. That would have been cool. But, one thing just interesting, like when you like the video package before this basically like shows it shows pretty much everything, but it definitely emphasizes the good stuff over the bad. And it's interesting how, you know, you can look, if you just knew what had happened based on that video package, you've been like, wow, what an awesome build-up, what a great job they did. And you know, particularly the the last two things with the Stephanie stuff, and then, you know, the and then the final angle, you know, with them all coming out. You know, I mean, that stuff, I think that really, really turned it around and really made it a pretty strong thing.
They're really good at that. That's one thing. They're great at a lot of things. But they're very, very good at taking their video packages and making you excited for something. When even if you've seen everything leading up to it, they know how to take what was important. And they've at times I found I don't know if I remember it for this feud specifically, but at times I've found that you've been watching a feud or watching, you know, Raw and every week, and you see them do certain things in certain angles, and you can know, you know, like, oh, they did that because they want to put it in the video package,
right?
And then you kind of go like, that's weird. And then when you see the video package, you're like, oh, perfect, that's awesome. But you're like, oh, they tricked me. Yeah. Even though I watched both things. But I think, like, editing out all of the things that they should have was a good idea. I mean, you don't need to, like, unless if you're going to play Benny Hill theme music, see Shane McMahon's punches a second time.
Right.
There was, a lot of, like, back and forth, good and bad, leading up to this this match. I think the home invasion was easily the worst part of it, but
yeah. Well, maybe the Shane McMahon punch.
Yeah, and it's too bad. Like, it, they did so much good. I just
And the show did really, really well. I mean, better than they were expecting. So I mean, that probably, you know, because it was kind of generally considered that the build to it wasn't really very strong. But I mean, like I said, I think the last 2 weeks of it, I think that washed the bad taste out of, you know, the stuff from before. So that was good for them. One other thing on kind of revisionist history is, like, the way that Orton's acts against the McMahons and Triple H are all kind of inspired by, you know, Orton says that they're inspired by, you know, what happened in 2004 with Evolution turning on him after he'd won the title.
Yeah.
And they really, and but they do not make any mention of any of the other Triple H and Orton feuds in between then, which they feuded like three times. So, I found that, you know, kind of amusing, and also just obviously at the time, you know, Orton was babyface and Triple H and them were the heels, and now of course, you know, he's using, which is actually a, you know, cool thing to do, to, you know, using, yeah, you know, the WWE doesn't always tend to remember the past very well, or, you know, use its history very well. So that's kind of a nice way of doing it, even if, you know, you had to forget a lot of stuff, or at least, you know, not think of a lot of stuff, you know, for it to, like, the idea that, like, he's suddenly mad about something that happened 6 years, or, well, it would have been 5 years earlier at the time, you know, is, you know, it's funny, but.
Well, yeah, and they normally wouldn't do that when it paints, like, their current, you know, babyface as a heel.
Right.
In the past, like, why would you want to remember that Triple H was a complete jerk? Like,
yeah,
you know.
Well, they framed it a little. I mean, they framed it so it didn't make him seem quite as much. But he definitely, I mean, you don't, you know, you can't argue the fact that he turned on him, and, you know, and they showed that. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting, and yeah, I hadn't realized, but only that Jim Ross mentions during this match is that Orton had lost the world title three times, and each time was Triple H, which is, you know, pretty amazing. It's kind of like Triple H being Hulk Hogan to Orton's Randy Savage,
yes,
you know? So now, you know, Orton's, you know, Triple H has been kind of out of the picture for a while, and Orton is, you know, is pretty much the established guy now. So maybe that's not quite as true now, but it was certainly seemed true at the end. So, you know, as far as the crowd goes, they do not when Orton comes out, man, there is deafening silence, which is really weird, considering, you know, that, you know, people seem pretty hot for the feud. But there was absolutely nothing. And, you know, this, of course, was a couple matches after, you know, Shawn Michaels and Undertaker, and, you know, and their incredible match. And, you know, obviously it's pretty hard to follow that, but there was a buffer, you know, John Cena, Big Show, Edge match that, you know, in theory, you know, should have at least, I don't know. Like, I think if they had had a match that this crowd wanted to see, I think that they would have been able to get more of a rise out of the crowd, but not that the crowd, you know, not that it wasn't a challenge either, you know?
Yeah, they weren't completely gone. They definitely, like, voiced their opinion on a lot of things. Like, instead of, like, they weren't like, when Triple H kicks off the match by tackling Orton and you know, going for him with punches and taking him in the corner and almost risking disqualification, the crowd isn't biting. Like, they're just watching the match. Like, there's no, that's the kind of the problem with, like, even if the stipulation that Triple H can't get disqualified or else he loses the title, even if that's, like, well explained, the crowd, that's really got to be, like, teased, like, and milked really hard, it seems like, for them to, you know, buy into it. And it's kind of tough. Like, with the start of the match, the crowd isn't as into it, but you can't – I don't think you can attribute it to Shawn and Undertaker. Like, they had the crowd going and stuff. But as you said, there's the buffer match, and if this match – it had the right build, and if it just had all the right pieces, like if there was the ability for blood – I mean, like, blood doesn't always have to be there, but the way they built it up with like, you don't sexually assault a man's wife and you don't get the crap beat out of you. Like, that just doesn't happen.
Right.
So he should have – there should have been a little bit more there. So the stipulation, I think, hurt it. And I don't know. There's more that we'll get to. Like, I think there's, it should have been, like, an incredibly overbooked, like, run-ins, ref bumps. Like, it should have had the whole thing, and it just was –
yeah,
it just didn't.
Yeah, it really needed to be that style. I mean, you really needed to have Legacy involved. You really needed to have Vince and Shane involved.
Yeah.
You know, Batista came back the next night, essentially, you know, to help out Triple H, you know. And, you know, it really would have made a lot of sense to have him come out, you know. Kind of
Big deal in that feud. Yeah. Like, they have huge history with each other. I mean, like, they – I don't know why they didn't go for it. And I feel silly, like, being, like, just as a fan who just watches wrestling saying what they should or shouldn't have, but
right.
I think it's just because they build up such an expectation for it with the way the feud started, that they didn't really have a way to finish it that wouldn't have left you feeling like you wanted more.
Yeah. Like, I think this is one match where, like, maybe you skip, like, the theatrics. Like, I mean, they have, like, the whole thing where they... Triple H comes out, and then he's looking into his reflection in glass, and he throws a sledgehammer into it, and, like, it breaks. And it's like, I don't know. This is just, like, a thing where, like, you don't do that elaborate entrance. And, like, they did, like, the in-ring intros like they do in a lot of the championship matches, which is, like, usually a really cool flourish, but it's just, like, you know, like, it's like, you know, Triple H should be dying to get this guy and should just, you know, run in and jump and, you know, and go after him, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's weird that they didn't make it a no DQ match. And I know, I mean, the story that was being told was that Triple H wants to kill Randy Orton, wants to do everything he can, but that, you know, the rules won't allow him to do it. But that's just a weird thing to have as a WrestleMania main event.
Yeah, and then they wanted, like, the payoff in different ways, it seemed like. Like, Orton had spent, like, this entire, like, few months leading up, like, I don't know, attacking Triple H's entire family. And, well, with the punt, like, that was his, like, his major move that put people out. And it should have been, like, Triple H does punt him, but it's, like, a surprise, like, out of nowhere, like, gotcha!
Yeah.
Where the crowd kind of was, like, surprised by it, and he kind of, like, hit it in a weird way, and it didn't really get the pop that it probably should have. Like, for something, for a match that can't have the blood or the insanity that it maybe should have, the punt probably should have been something a little more protected or built to, like, oh, I'm gonna do to you what you did to my family kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah.
Instead of like I gotcha, come back in the ring.
Right, and you know, and the finish, it's just, you know, and yeah, basically he does the punt, and then he, you know, and then he nails him with the sledgehammer that Orton had originally got and then tried to bring into the ring, and that's where the punt came from. Right. And then he gets rid of the weapon, and then he punches him really, really hard, like intensely on the ground, which is actually cool and, you know, and pretty violent, and the ref has to pull him off, and then he kind of just, you know, grabs and picks him up and hits the pedigree for the win, which it just sort of, like, it works as far as the story goes, but man, as far as like getting that crowd into it, it's not, you know, usually you'll see, like, you know, like you'll see a lot of like reversals, and you'll see, you know, then finally, you know, and then finally the face pulls out the big move, you know, with the pedigree, and then wins it. And that's, you know, kind of usually how a lot of the main events, you kind of like build up to like that climax, and then you hit that thing and just like, yeah. But this was more like, you know, Triple H was just, you know, beating up really bad, and then, you know, and then he hit his move and pinned him, you know?
Yeah. It seemed like it was supposed to be like a really like triumphant beatdown, like a, yes, finally you're getting him, like,
right.
The crowd should come unglued kind of thing. But I'm pretty sure they booed. I think I heard, well, like, it could have been, like, you know, the smart marks booing Triple H because they wanted Orton to win. But there was, like, kind of, like, you know, like, no big reaction. There was kind of just a, you know, still a, kind of a calm crowd. And then when he hits him with a sledgehammer, the crowd is kind of like, ooh. and yeah. he hits the punches like, oh, and then he pedigrees him and he wins.
And that got a pretty good – the finish got a good pop.
It did, yeah.
The actual pedigree, yeah, and the pin, it did. But, interesting that the beginning, of course, is basically like Triple H, you know, takes him down, punches him. The ref ends up getting in his face, and he has to back off. And then Orton gets a very quick RKO.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, and then Triple H has to, and then they're like both kind of slow to get up, and then Triple H not long after gets the pedigree. So they've both hit each other's finishers, and now they're being very slow and methodical, and like because they have to obviously sell the fatigue of just being hit by their biggest moves.
Yeah.
So it starts off so
there's no wild brawl. Like it's just kind of like
finishers. Right. I mean, there is Triple H just get his 30 seconds of punches in or whatever, and it's pretty intense for what it is. But you've already established you have to have a few methodical minutes because of the finishers because you have to sell those and whatever. So
But Triple H found the antidote to the RKO when he went into the front row and took someone's water bottle and dumped it all over himself. After that.
That's right. That was hilarious.
That was so weird.
Yeah.
But it worked. He shook it off really well.
He did. He was good. So, yeah. And then, then it's kind of like they brawl for a while, and then Triple H is kind of like working Orton's shoulder and neck. Which Orton forgets about after, a little bit. Sells it for a while and then kind of forgets about it. They do the first count out tease as Orton gets control, and then they tease Triple H being countered out, which the crowd does not get into at all.
It's just amazing seeing all first I want to say we're ragging on this match pretty hard. The match itself is a victim of its stipulations. And the crowd is expecting more from that. Clearly, that's what everyone is feeling. But between that, the wrestling between the two, and there are some good spots. Like I think Triple H or Orton drop kicks Triple H as he's coming down off the top.
Yeah,
that it looks phenomenal. And
that
it looks
was
like
good.
Bent in half, and it's great. There is some good stuff, and I hate. Yeah. Sorry, I just after we go on such a long string of kind of being this match should have been.
That's true.
I want to kind of just. Get some positivity out there because for watching when I watched this match live, I was, just burying it and burying myself into the ground because of how much I was upset with it. So I can feel the negativity for sure.
Right.
But I also want to just, give this match a little more than give it what it deserves. For sure.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, the action itself is not bad. I mean, it's fine. It's actually, pretty good. And, if this were just a main event of a regular pay-per-view and it hadn't had the story that it was, the setup that it had, it would have been adequate. And, there was a lot of things factoring against it. Yeah. But the action itself, there's, nothing wrong with it. I mean, it's a methodical, slow pace. And there's, the psychology was, pretty strong. At least, Orton. Orton went for the kind of the hip and the groin, going after Triple H's weaknesses. There was a long chin lock, but it kind of builds into after the chin lock, it kind of goes into more of we're countering each other's holds, more traditional style WrestleMania thing. Orton does do a bad jumping off the top and running into a boot thing, but but they do Triple H trying the pedigree, but then Orton rolling through, and then Orton trying the RKO and Triple H rolling up. So they do some cool stuff, and they work off of each other's offense pretty well, there was one cool thing where Orton teases the punt and then Triple H grabs his boot and just kind of holds on to it and then stares in his face.
Yeah.
And then he grabs him and he dumps him over his shoulder, over the top rope. I mean, that was very cool.
Yeah. I have to say this because forgot it happened as well. I had to rewind it and watch it again to count. There's a point in the match where Randy Orton stomps Triple H 27 times in a row.
Okay, wow.
I had to, because I was watching it and going like, okay. And then I started laughing because of how long it went on. It went on like Family Guy, I don't know, extra long or something. But it was funny. But it was sold as like, it was right before Triple H started to make his kind of comeback.
And, right.
But yeah, I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah.
So if anyone's wondering how many times someone can get stomped in a row, I think it's about 27.
Okay, well, that's good to know. That's yeah, that seems like a lot, but I guess Triple H is a very resilient sort of fellow.
He knows how to take a stomp.
Yeah. Well, that's like right after kind of that sort of caps off. Like they do go back into like a really big brawling portion where they, end up going like Triple H grabs the monitor and like teases like attacking him, but then stops,
right.
Obviously the no DQ or the can lose the title on DQ thing. And then he tries a pedigree on the table, but then he gets dumped over on the other table. Now I'm not entirely sure why this stuff wouldn't be a disqualification or at least like a double count out because they're out there forever, but
yeah,
I'm gonna look past that. And then Orton DDTs Triple H on the floor, does the draping thing with his feet on the table. With
the craziest face ever. He makes a weird noise.
Yeah. and then they do another count out tease, which gets over better than the first one. And then Triple H does sort of come in at 9, and then that's when he does the 27 stomps and also does like a bunch of punches in the corner.
Where, his trademark 27 stomps.
Yes. And then the ref kind of pulls him off, and then Orton tosses Triple H into the ref, which seems sort of dumb, but I guess was sort of setting. He hits the RKO, and then it sets him up going after the sledgehammer, and then we basically describe what the finish is after that. So
right, I actually liked when he threw him in through Triple H into the ref.
Okay,
it seemed like the ref he noticed that the ref wasn't fully bumped, if that's a adjective or a verb that makes sense.
Sure,
but he then turned and was just like the referee's eyes were that was also a part of it, like the referee couldn't see, but he wasn't down yet, so Orton whips Triple H into him to be like, now I'll go get the sledgehammer.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this one just is the quality of the match itself is not bad, it's just more wrong place wrong time kind of thing. And it's just interesting how wrestling can be like that. I mean, and if the crowd had just been into the story they were telling, it probably would have come off quite a bit better.
Yeah.
But they clearly weren't. But you can't,
if your story is the good guy, gets wronged in such a way that it's this high, like I'm raising my hand high for those of you listening.
Okay.
It's like,
imagine everyone.
Yeah, and he is like, it's a big deal. I don't think there's ever been a sexual assault in wrestling quite like what Randy Orton did to you. We won't get into it. Anyway, the point is, like, Triple H was super mad and deserved revenge against Randy Orton.
Right.
But then, like, he got, like, diluted and diluted because he couldn't get it. And you're like, well, that's not really fair in a way, like,
yeah,
he should be able to get like the revenge he deserves against Orton, but they wrote themselves in a corner, but like they made it so Triple H couldn't do that, and you know, like that you don't feel satisfied when the match is over.
Yeah. Now why do you think they would have done that? Do you think it's because of the fact that this was kind of the first match in the feud and they were building to bigger matches, although they only did one and then Triple H got hurt or something, he was just out for a while, but
yeah, well, they did like a six man, I think, after that at Backlash, I guess, which was after.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I think Orton won the title and then punted Triple H, and then, he was out for like 6 months or whatever.
See, I could have even seen, like, I was hoping for, at the time, I thought Orton could win the title at WrestleMania, and it would be kind of like a dark ending to that WrestleMania, and it could carry that feud for a little bit longer, and then maybe there would be a stipulation match where Triple H could get the title back or something. Like,
sure.
I don't care. Like,
Hell in a Cell or whatever. Yeah.
Something like where he gets to beat Orton like he deserves to. Like, I feel like that's what wrestling has been built on forever, is like, I don't know, like you go back to, I've been reading a lot of like Jim Cornette's Midnight Express scrapbook.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he has incredible insight to the wrestling business, and just like talking about how great the Midnight Express were at just taking a beating when they deserved it and letting the babyfaces get their revenge, because that's what people want to see. And if you don't get to see that, then what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, like, that is what you're waiting for in a feud like this. And for Triple H to not be able to get that, it definitely, like, deflated the story. Even if he did win, and, like, technically you're like, well, I punted him. You're like, yeah, but history shows that we've seen wrestling matches where guys, you know, if Shawn Michaels can beat Vince McMahon to a bloody pulp at WrestleMania, why can't you get the guy who sexually assaulted your wife?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I agree. And just for people who didn't see it, I mean, sexually assault, while it certainly described it was a, you know, it was Orton, you know, kissing Stephanie McMahon while she was unconscious, which certainly qualifies as actual.
Don't try and take assault, that away from me. That's what that is.
That is what that is. But it's just sexual assault can also mean stronger things. So we want to just be clear. Even though WWE was certainly they were not R rated at the time. They were not always PG.
I wish they were just flipping back and forth between ratings at the time.
Right.
So it started with real sexual assault and ended with, like, I don't know. Pillow roll fight. Up at the end of it. Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I do think the whole thing is fascinating, though. Just the way that the story was told, the restrictions they put themselves under, and just kind of wondering. I mean, we'll never know exactly why, but unless Triple H writes a book or something. But
I would read that book.
Yeah, I would read that book too. I don't know. I can't imagine him being, like, honest, you know, in the book. But because I just don't think if you're in WWE for that long and, like, in that inner circle and with the McMahons, I don't think honesty is a possibility. But you know, he's an interesting fellow, certainly. So
yeah.
Any closing thoughts?
Well, I think we kind of, like, hit on everything. It's funny that you can look at a match like this, and if you were someone who didn't know, like, the interplayings of WWE and know that things like they changed the rating to PG, or maybe you didn't know that Triple H and Stephanie McMahon are really married, like, you can look at this match and you would be a little bit confused as to what was going on. Like, you would wonder why Triple H can't beat Randy Orton in the way he wants to, or why he wants to. Like, I think there's some funny things at play here in this match. Mm-hmm. And it'll always kind of be that way, because it's just, you know, like, you can't change the past. I just have this constant wish that the match could have been what I wanted it to be, especially because of how unexpectedly I was into Triple H for this feud. You know, like, he wasn't a guy that I was, like, really excited about at the time. So I was amazed at the WWE's ability to make me care about someone so quickly. And it's just, yeah, it's just too bad.
Yeah. Well, you know, then again, it wasn't, like, all sadness and tears, because even though the match certainly did not get the response they expected, it still was a successful WrestleMania, and they, you know, it had a, you know, some other classic things. Particularly the Shawn Michaels Undertaker match. So overall, you know, the 25th anniversary of WrestleMania was indeed a success for WWE. So
yeah,
good for WWE. Yay!
Yay!
All right. Well, thanks a lot for joining me and talking about the match. And,
absolutely.
And everyone, thanks for listening. And we'll be back with the final installment, WrestleMania 26, tomorrow. Everybody, take care.